This is 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Welcome to a special episode of 1010 Thrive, the second in a five-part series about a man who remembered to give thanks. Previously on I Am the One.
I am called Ephraim, a Hebrew name that means fruitful, but I am not Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. I was born in a town called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. When I was 18, I married a beautiful girl named Talia. When I was 20, Talia gave birth to her son, Manoah. 3 months after Manoah's birth, I discovered the first ulcer on the bottom of my left foot. I remember that day when I met with the priest in the temple courtyard for the third time. "You are unclean," he said. "You have leprosy, and you must leave the city limits immediately."
I Am the One, Part 2.
I survived for the first few days on what Talia had prepared for me. But then I had to scavenge for food. Sometimes I would sneak into one of the animal pens and steal the scraps that were left there for the goats or sheep. Early in the morning, I would search for fruits and nuts that I could pick and scamper off before anyone discovered my presence. Apricots, almonds, dates, and figs. One morning, as I was starting to climb a sycamore tree, I was hit in the back of the head with a stone fired from a slingshot. I almost passed out, but I managed to scramble down the tree and escape before I could get seriously hurt. I left Sychar and joined up with a leper colony about 5 or 6 miles away. But when one of the men was murdered in the middle of the night, I moved on. For years, I wandered from place to place just trying to survive. Eventually, I crossed the border into Judea and joined up with some Jewish lepers. They knew I was a Samaritan, but they still allowed me to forage with them. If they looked down on me, they didn't show it. We were all in a similar predicament, and we were frightful to behold. We wore clothes that were torn and dirty. Our hair was long and matted, and many of us could just barely drag ourselves from place to place. Ariel's face was badly disfigured. Noam had lost a finger, and he hid his right hand under several dirty rags wrapped together. Omer could hardly walk, his legs were so badly twisted. Itzhak's body was covered in sores, and he had long ago given up trying to swat away the flies that swarmed around him. Yuri was practically blind. Amos, Ari, Josiah, and Micah each had badly discolored skin. Children hid their faces when they saw us. Parents used us as a cautionary tale for what happens to people who lie, who steal, who are disobedient, sins. Sometimes when we walk past a vineyard or a farm, the workers would throw stones at us to chase us away. When people would come near us, we would cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" We had to stay at least 6 feet away from healthy people. And when the wind was blowing, there had to be at least 150 feet of separation. We wandered around with each other for almost 2 years. When I joined, there were 14 of us. By the time we met Jesus, we were down to 10, 3 of us having died and 1 having left the group.
T
today's top 10 list.
10 notes about leprosy.
Number 1.
Leprosy has terrified humanity since ancient times and was reported as early as 600 BC in India, China, and Egypt. Hansen's disease is still a major health problem today. Disease is a constant reminder of just how much things have changed since God pronounced a curse on the earth, back in the book of Genesis. At first, everything was very good, but Adam's sin brought death and decay into the world.
Number 2.
The term leprosy and related words like lepers and leprous occurs 68 times in the Bible, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 times in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the instances of leprosy most likely meant a variety of infectious skin diseases, and even mold and mildew on clothing and walls.
Number 3.
The precise meaning of leprosy in both the Old and New Testaments is still in dispute, but it probably includes modern Hansen's disease, especially in the New Testament, as well as infectious skin diseases.
Number 4.
Many have thought leprosy to be a disease of the skin. It is better classified, however, as a disease of the nervous system, because a leprosy bacterium attacks the nerves.
Number 5.
Leprosy was common in Bible times, and the many references to it were well understood by those who lived in unsanitary conditions. The main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible is that it is a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. In ancient Israel, leprosy was a powerful object lesson of the debilitating influence of sin in a person's life.
Number 6.
In Leviticus 13, God gave the Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections.
Number 7.
Incurable by man, many believed God inflicted the curse of leprosy upon people for the sins that they had committed.
Number 8.
Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness.
Number 9.
In Matthew 8, the Bible records the story of a leper who was healed by Jesus. A key lesson to be learned from this incident is that sin defiles us in the sight of God, but through Christ, we can be healed of the plague of sin that separates us from God.
Number 10.
Although we can't know all the reasons that God allows disease into our lives, biblical leprosy is a powerful symbol reminding us of sin's spread and its horrible consequences. Like leprosy, sin starts out small, but can then spread, leading to other sins and causing great damage to our relationship with God and others. Father, we are so grateful that we can confidently approach you in all our need, with all our sin and defilement. We come to you today pleading for cleansing and forgiveness, knowing that you will not turn us away. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today. And be sure to tune in next time as we continue with part 3 of Ephraim's story in I Am the One.